This week's parsha is Parshas Kisisa. The Torah describes the Keteres. Keteres was one of the Avedis in the Beis HaMikdash to bring spices that were supposed to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Nachas Ruach. And the Pasuk says in Parak Lamed Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'ata kach lecha b'samim roish, you should take for yourselves these spices, Mar Durar. The first spice that's mentioned is Mar Durar. Mar Durar means pure myrrh. Myrrh is is a spice, M-Y-R-R-H, and that is the first of the spices. The Gemara says, in Meseches Chulin, Daf Kufla Metesim Abeis, the people of Papunoi, there was a city by the name of Papunoi, and the fine people that lived there once asked Rav Masna, Mardechai min ha-Torah minayin. How do we know Mardechai from the Torah? Everything is alluded to in the Torah. There's nothing that does not exist in the Torah. And they wanted to know from Rav Masna, where do you find Mardechai in the Torah? Mardechai is obviously in the Megillah, but in Torah itself, not in Nach, but in the Megillah, in the Torah, where is Mardechai's name alluded to? He was such a historic, heroic figure in Klal Yisrael, there must be a place that we could find, that we can identify Mardechai earlier on, that his imprint is in the Torah. Rav Masna, on the spot, answers the people of Papunai, and he says this in this week's parasha. The Pasuk says, Mar Durar, that first of the samamanim, the first of the spices, the pure myrrh, and the Targum, if you look at the Targum on that, those two words, it's Mira Dachya. Mira Dachya. The Aramaic for Mar Durar is Mira Dachya. Mira Dachya phonetically is related to Mardechai. Mira Dachya. Mar Dechai. And so that's the remez to Mardechai in the Torah, that he was the first of the spices. If you look in Rashi, in that Gemara in Chulin, he says Mar Durar, the Kari Leila Mardechai Reish L'Besamim. We're calling here Mardechai the first, the Reish of all the Besamim. All the other spices to follow were led by Mardechai. Mardechai is the top gun. He is the top spice. He was the Reish L'Besamim L'Tzadikim Manshik Nesagdeila. He was the number one Gadol. He was the number one Tzadik. He was the number one person, Nanshik Nesagdeil, the great body that existed after the miracle of Purim by the beginning of the Bayasheni, the Anshik Nesagdeil. Who was number one? Who was the top person? Mardechai. That's what we take away from this Gemara based on Rashi, that the reason why Mardechai is the first of the Besamim, because he was the first of the Tzadikim. Tzadikim are Besamim. They're beautiful, they are aromatic. We call tzaddikim spices. So if we could see that Mardechai was the number one spice, the first on the list is Mar Durar, Umetargamin and Mar Dachya, it's a raya that Mardechai was number one. So this is what Rav Masna answered to the people of Papunai. You want to know a remez to Mardechai min Atayra, very pashut. This week's parasha, V'ata kachulcham b'samim reish, these are the b'samim that you should be taking. And the first one is Mar Durar, pure mer umetagaminon, Mari Dachya. Mardechai, number one, the number one tzaddik in Klal Yisrael, the number one member of Anshik Nesagdeil was Mardechai. And I think it's fascinating that Rashi, based on this Gemara, places Mardechai as number one. When I was a kid, I loved a certain book. I loved a few books, but one of them was called The Book of Lists. And it basically gives you lists from 1 to 10 of everything that you'd ever want to know. The fastest man that ever lived. So you have number one, top 10. And then there was a top 10, fastest car, most expensive boat, whatever you want to know. There was lists, and it was wonderful because your mind got to know who's number one. Everybody wants to know who's the richest man in the world, who is the smartest person, so you have a book of lists, and it gives you everything from number one to 10, and everybody was very, very interested. It was a best-selling book. Everybody likes to know the status of the best. Who is the best this, and who is the most that, and who is the most popular, etc. So it seems from this Gemara that if I was making a book of lists, I would put Mardukhai at that time as being the number one tzaddik. Mardurar, he was the number one. Rashi says it black and white. V'kari leila Mardukhai roish lebesamim letzadikim manchik nesagdeli. He was number one. Now this is very, very disturbing, this Gemara, and I'm surprised that nobody got up and started screaming when they heard this Rashi, because I know that a lot of you know the Gemara in Megillah, Tesai and Mebez, that the Gemara says, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yaseh Me'atzolos Nefashis, Talmud Torah is much more important than even saving lives. As important as saving lives is, and it definitely is, we Jewish people put a premium on life, we love life, we try to save lives, we have Atzala, we have Chaver, and we have whatever we can to organizations. Last Shabbos, I spent in a hospital with a member of my family who was sick, and amazing, Klal Yisrael, what they, you know, the care that they take for other people, the Biker Chaylim room in South Nassau Hospital, I have to give them a shout, it was unbelievable. They didn't know that we were coming. I literally came mamish like during the 18 minutes before Shkia. I took an Uber. It was Shlikos Lakanis Nefashis. And they didn't know that I was coming, and there was tons of food, cholent and kugel and fish and everything that you could want. Jews like, we love life. We don't love death. We wanna prolong people's lives. We put a premium on people's lives. As important as that is, to care for another yid, but Torah is more important than that. Gadol Talmud Torah Yaisi Matzalos Nefashos. The Gemara proves this from the fact that Mordechai saved Klal Yisrael, undeniably. Mordechai stepped to the plate during Purim. He saved the Jewish people, him together with Esther. And there is a list. If you look in a pasuk in Ezra, it says who came into the up with the bayis to rebuild the bayis sheni, to live in Eretz Yisrael after the galus paras. So it says first it counts Mordechai after as number four after as. Because the pasuk says in Ezra, Asher Boam Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Sharia, Ralia, Mordechai, Balshein. Later on in Nehemiah, it says, Abam, Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Ramya, Nachmeni, Mordechai, Balshein. So before he saved Klal Yisrael, he was counted after four people. So he was number five on the list. After he saved Klal Yisrael, instead of going up a notch, he went down a notch. He was actually demoted on the list because he should have spent his time, instead of saving Klal Yisrael, he should have been sitting and learning. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Not to say that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have been saved, but it wasn't so pashut. It was not a simple decision that Mordechai made, and he suffered personally for it because he was demoted in terms of the chashivut. But what do we get away from this? The takeaway from this Gemara is that Mordechai was not number one on the list. Mordechai was either number five or number six on the list, but he wasn't number one. And that seems to counter what Rashi in Chulin is telling us. What I want to suggest is the following. In order to answer this seeming stira between Rashi and a Gemara, if you have two Gemaras, you could say it's not a stira, it's different mandam. If you have a Rashi, Rashi's got to walk with a Gemara. Rashi can't go against the Gemara. So what exactly how could Rav Masna put Mordechai as number one on the list when he was clearly, the Gemara says, either four or five, either five or six? Listen to a Gemara in Psachim on Daf Mem Bezim and Aleph. Another Gemara, not in Chulin, Psachim, Mem Bezim and Aleph. And you see a lot of the same people that we just described in the Gemara in Chulin, i.e. Rav Masna and the people of Papunai. Remember, that was the discussion. The people of Papunai asked Rav Masna about how is Mordechai Merumas in the Torah, and he told him this answer, Mardura. Look at this Gemara in Psachim. Darash Rav Masna l'anshe Papunai. Rav Masna went and gave a drasha to the people of Papunai. Isha leitalosh el b'mayim shalanu. A woman, when she needs her matzah, she's kneading the dough to make matzah, so you have to use mayim shalanu. Mayim shalanu. That's the drasha that he gave. He was teaching them, I guess it was before Pesach. He's giving them shayol medarsha milchas ha-Pesach, shlesh mem kaid machag. You have to give drasha. So he was going, giving the women, the people of Papunai, a lesson that when your wives go and are kneading the challah, kneading the dough to make the matzah rather, they should only use mayim shalanu. Now, you don't know what that means. If you don't know the Gemara, you don't know what the people of Papunai were simple people. They didn't know what he meant when he said mayim shalanu. What he did mean was that it's water shalanu that rested, meaning you can't just like draw water up from a spring and then immediately use it to bake your matzah, because that's going to be hot and it's going to agitate the flour and it's going to make the dough rise too quickly. And so it has to cool off overnight. You have to bring it up from the spring and then let it rest a little bit. And that way there's not going to be any agitation. It's going to be able to bake in the proper time. You could make sure that it's going to not rise before the 18 minutes. That's what he meant when he said that a woman should not knead unless it's with mayim shalanu. The people of Papunai did not understand that. They understood it that in maybe the way that you thought that I meant it, mayim shalanu means our water. Mayim shalanu, not shalanu like that rested, but rather shalanu, our water. Meaning you need rabbi water. You can't just take regular Poland spring water. You can't go to Key Food and buy your water. You can't even open up your sink again. You have to come to the rabbis and get the water from the rabbi. Mayim shalanu, you need rabbinically approved water. Just like you need rabbinically approved aluminum foil and soap, you have to get a rabbinically approved water. You can't buy anything unless it has the OUP. That's what you need for the water also. Don't use water unless it's mayim shalanu. That's how they thought. And the next day, Rav Masna wakes up in the morning, he comes out the door, and he sees all the wonderful people of Papunai with their jugs, with their bottles, with their cups. They're waiting to get the rabbi water. Give me rabbi water. Okay, here's the money, and whatever it takes, we need the water from the rabbi, mayim shalanu. So Rav Masna was very taken aback. He says, no, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean mayim shalanu. We don't have special water. You go take your Poland spring water, use that, that's fine. I just meant that it has to whatever water you get, you have to make sure that it rests overnight. It's lanu overnight. It has to have lina. It has to rest. It cools off a little bit. It doesn't have that chemical reaction with the flour that might make it rise too quickly. The Avnei Nezer asks the question on this Gemara. The Avnei Nezer wants to know, why exactly is the Gemara bringing this case? Are we trying to like show how simple, is it like a Chelm story, you know, the book of Chelm, like this little, very naive community with people that didn't know any better, Amaratzim? Is that what the Gemara is trying to bring? Like, what's the Gemara telling us this tale for? If you want to tell me the halacha about Mayim Shalanu, tell me the halacha of Mayim Shalanu. Why do you have to couch it in this story that really, you know, seems to put the people of Papunai in a very bad light? They're such Amaratzim, they didn't know the difference between Mayim Shalanu or Mayim our water. What's the Gemara bringing this for? So the Avnei Nezer says the following. He says, it's not a put down on the people of Papunai. It shows the beauty of the people of Papunai. It shows the simple emunah pshuta, the emunas chachamim that Yidden back in the olden days had. If the rabbi gets up and he gives a drasha, and he says that Isha leitalosh el b'mayim shalanu, that a woman can only knead the dough to make challah with our water. So we would, you know, scratch our heads, say, what's the rabbi doing? What do he has special H2O? Water is water. What do I have to buy? It's a rabbi. It's a Jew tax. Another thing that we have to pay for. It's not enough we have to go to the supermarket and buy salt water, and it's not enough that we have to go to the supermarket and get special, whatever, soap and toothpaste, but we also have to now go and buy water, the most basic element in life. What's H2O is H2O? Why not just buy it from the rabbi? They didn't say that. That's maybe what we might say. They didn't say that. All they said was, if this is what the rabbi said, if this is what Rav Masna said, Nasa v'nishma. We're going to do it. We're going to tomorrow morning bring our jugs, bring our bottles, bring our barrels, and buy it, whatever it costs. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. The beauty of Klal Yisrael, with their simplistic emuna pshuta, their emuna in the Chachamim, the Chachmi Yisrael, in the Torah. This is what I have to do. This is what I do. But they didn't have that I. They didn't have that question mark in their head. They did it. The rabbi said, do it. This is what they did. He didn't mean it, but that's the way they all understood it, and they didn't question it. They didn't question rabbinic authority. They didn't question Das Torah. They didn't question this is why that he has this, and he has ulterior motives, and he's trying to make a profit, and he's trying to do this, and he's putting us in a... This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do, period. The people of Papunoi go down in history. They're immortalized as people that had emuna pshuta in the Chachmei Yisrael. They had emunas chachamim, pure and simple. And it's the most beautiful of stories in the Gemara. It's not a chalm story. It's not a put down. It's not, oh my gosh, wow, these guys are real. No, no, no. It's beautiful. Because it shows that this is how Yidden used to be back in the day. They might not have always been the greatest Talmid Chacham in every single city in the world. There maybe were pockets that they were not, but they were still pure. They were still innocent. They had a beauty and a love to them of Chachmei Yisrael, of Taira Kadesha, even if they might not understand exactly what is meant, but at least their heart was so involved and so certain that the Chachmei Yisrael are going to be right every time. This is what they did. What I wanted to say based on this Avnei Nezer, this Gemara, is now perhaps we can go back, we can revisit the Gemara in Chulin. Let's look at that Gemara again. Those same people of Papunoi that had Emunas Chachamim, they went and they asked Rav Masna, Mardechai minat Torah minayin. Find us where Mardechai, can you imagine what Mardechai was, the people of Papunai, if they had such love of Chachmei Yisrael? Mardechai was the savior of Klal Yisrael. Tell us stories about Mardechai. Tell us where Mardechai is in the Torah. Rav Masna understood. He knew the people of Papunai. Rav Masna was the same figure that had this whole mice with Maim Shalanu. So he didn't want to in any way infringe on their love, on their respect, on their fealty to Chachmei Yisrael. So he didn't say, well, you know, Mardechai, you know, he's number 5 on the list, number 6 on the list, that would be, no. Mardechai is number 1 on our list. Mardechai is Mardechai. So he found the mucker in the Torah, Samim Reish, Mar Durar. The number one spice is Mardechai. Mardechai, as Rashi says, was Roish lebesamim with tzaddikim, Machik Nesagdela, people of Papunai, they wouldn't understand. He's number 4, number 5, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yisrael, Yisrael, Yisrael. Keep it pure and simple. The people of Papunai want their Emunah Pshuta pure and simple. That's how you have to serve it up to them. He was number 1. Mardechai, as you think he is, as you understand that he was the Gadol Hadar, that's exactly what he was, and he was. But it's not a stira. In fact, in reality, the Gemara Megillah is telling us that he was actually... But when you're speaking to somebody, when you're telling a child, you know, about Mardechai, you don't say, here, put a kid on my lap and I'm going to tell you the story about Mardechai. He saved Klal Yisrael, but he was demoted. He was number 4. He was number 5 on the list. Now he's number 6 on the... That's not what we want to hear. We want to hear that Mardechai is number 1. Mardechai is Klal Yisrael. Mardechai is the Gadol be Yisrael. Mardechai saved. He was the Mashiach of Yisrael. And to the people of Papunai, it was very important to maintain that level of Munas Chacham. And whatever the facts on the ground are in terms of what number it, that's not relevant to the people of Papunai. When you're giving over Torah to the people of Papunai, maintain their image of Gedali Yisrael, that they're number one. They're the Tzaddikim. They're number one. He's the number one Tzaddik. He's the number one Anshe Knes HaGdaila. Bar none. And this is a very, very critical lesson for us, that we have to have more Emunas Chachamim. Our Emunas Chachamim sometimes is a little diminished, and I don't think the internet helped that too much. The internet, if you go on even... I'm not talking about the really bad sites. I'm talking about even the mainstream sites. Sometimes you have I always say, like, it might be a very good business to own one of these Jewish news sites, because I think many of us go on it constantly. I know that during the war, I find myself constantly checking out, you know, the Jewish news sites to see what's doing in Eretz Yisrael, minute by minute, practically. But I would never want their Olam Haba, because they put these comments on the bottom. I don't know why they have to do that. Give news. Why do you have to put the comment? The answer is that people are coming there to see the comments, and every single person anonymously can say anything that they want. And sometimes they speak about Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbonim, in ways that are very, very bad. And that's the regular, that's the best of it. I'm not talking about the really bad sites that go to town and every Rosh Hashiva and every Gadol and try to find what's wrong and this and that. And terrible. And it erodes people's Emunas Chacham, whether we realize it or not, even just seeing it for a second, one power of a comment about a Gadol, about a leader, about could erode our Emunas Chachamim. And so it's very important, if we're going through our lives, to not get jaded and not get cynical about Chachmei Yisrael, to respect Chachmei Yisrael, put them as number one on our list. This is, wow, you have to look at Klal Yisrael, at Gedolei Yisrael, in awe and in reverence, and never allow ourselves to in any which way become cynical or, nah, I don't know, you know, we can't play that game. We have to look at Chachmei Yisrael as being number one, every one of them. This is an important lesson in general, but it's especially important as we're coming into the Yontif of Purim, and we're talking today about Mardechai, who's the hero of Purim. Emunas Chachamim played a very critical role in the entire Yeshua of those days in Shushan. Rav Dessler, in his Michtam Eliyahu, in Chelek Aleph, page 75, he has a letter there. I'm going to I'm not sticking to his letter. I'm going to paraphrase what he says. But the lesson of that letter is very profound. He was talking about somebody that was questioning Emunas Chachamim. I'm not going to go into the details of what the questions were and how he beautifully answered those questions. But in the process, he brought up the story of the Megillah. And he said that, you know, we read the Megillah quickly. How long does it take to lane the whole Megillah? Some people can lane in 15 minutes. Some people can lane in a half an hour. Some people lane in an hour, whatever it is. But it's a short reading. It's not it doesn't take hours and hours. So, and it sort of just reads like a quick story. If you're paying attention to the storyline, it seems like it's all like all at one time. They went to a party. Ahasuerus made a party in the third year of his reign, and the Jews of Shushan came, and they drank, and then Vashti ended up being killed, Haman was promoted, and then Esther took the place of Vashti, she became queen, Haman tried to destroy the Jews, and this all took place in like 10 minutes, right? This all took place like very quickly, it's one after another, right? That's how the storyline goes. In reality, it took place over 9 long years. So at the beginning of the Megillah, that was the third year of the Malchus of Achashverosh. It ends in the 12th year of the Malchus of Achashverosh. So there's 9 years in between. This was a long story. 9 years is a long time. So it starts off that Mordechai told Klal Yisrael, I mean, this is not said in the Megillah, but this is what Chazal tell us, do not go to the party. Do not go to that party. Achashverosh is making a party. It's not a place for a Yid to be. There's going to be issues of Shmiras Einayim there. It's not appropriate. You should not be going to that party. It's not a place that a Yid should be. Now, it wasn't a food issue. People think, oh, yeah, of course, they're probably serving treif. No, the Gemara says, Lasses Kirtzon Ish V'Ish. They had very good mashkichim. The party, Mordechai himself was the mashkiach of the food at the party, and he was the Sarah Mashkim. He was pouring the wine at the party. To make sure that there was no Yayin Nesach. Everything was under rabbinical supervision. The food was fine. But the problem is that the Jews were warned, do not attend this party. I know that you want to. I know it's chashuv to get an invitation to the White House, and you want to be it, but I'm telling you, Das Torah is, do not go. It's not good to go. Okay. Fast forward. And they went. They didn't listen to the Gadol. They went. Somebody just told me the other day, just parenthetically, that he told me that he got rid of his smartphone. So I said, how did you do it? You know, it's a hard thing. Once you're hooked on it, it's very hard to give it up. He said, I'll tell you how I did it. My daughter came to me and she said that if you were living in the times of Mordechai, you would probably be the type that would go to the party. Because the Gedolim are telling you not to go to the party, and you go anyway. Gedolim are telling you not to go and have a smartphone, and you have a smartphone. You're the type that would go to the party. As soon as he heard that, he threw his smartphone in the garbage. My daughter is telling me that I would go to the party of Achashver. It's not good. Anyway, 9 years later, all of a sudden, Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman. As a result of refusing to bow down to Haman, and Haman got upset, he got crazy, and he went and he told Achashverosh that he wants to, you know, he decided he was going to destroy the Jews, hang Mordechai, do the whole plot, and there was a gzeira against Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. Now you're reading this in the paper. Who are you going to blame? 9 years after that party. Chazal tell us it was because of that party that, at least one shita is that because of that party, that's why we were deserving to be destroyed. The Rimachoy of Kalya, because of, we were Nenem Yisudas and Shalei Sarasha. But that's not the way it looks in the newspaper. And the way it looks in the newspaper is, you read the Shushan Times, and it says that Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman. Haman got really incensed. And because of that, he went and he decided to destroy the Jews. Now, what would be your attitude reading that in the paper? And next time you see Mordechai, you probably go over to him and say, thanks a lot. You know, because of you, we're all dead. Mordechai, though, told the people, I know that this is what it appears to be, but let me tell you the truth. The truth is nothing to do with me. I did the right thing by refusing to bow down to Haman. I felt this was the right thing to do, even though it wasn't Avodah Zarah Mamish, but it was. He felt that he had to take a stand against Haman and against Avodah Zarah, because Haman did have an Avodah Zarah around his neck. But it's still, halachically, Mordechai could have gotten away with it, but he felt that this is what he had to do. But why is there a chiyuv of Kalya? I'll tell you why there's a chiyuv of Kalya. Because 9 long years ago, when I told you not to go to the party, you went to the party. Imagine if I told you that something was happening today because of something that you did in 2014. Come on, 2014. That's like I don't even remember 2014. I can't tell you one thing I did. That's why we're mechayev kain. No, it's because you didn't bow down to Haman. It's 1 degree of separation. Connect the dots. You didn't bow down to Haman. Haman wants to kill us. You're telling me it's because of a party 9 years ago. Who even remembers that party? But you know what happened? Klal Yisrael heard what Mordechai told them, and they were mekabelit. And they went and they did tshuva, and they cried to Hashem, they davened to Hashem, we're sorry for going to that party. V'tzumu alai, now they had to fast to be mechaper for that party, for the hana that they got from that party. And because of that emunas chachamim that Klal Yisrael has, as Rav Dessler says, that's why we were zeichet to Yeshua. If they had not had that simple, innocent emunas chachamim, we'd all be dead today. We wouldn't be sitting here right now. There wouldn't be a Lander College. There wouldn't be a Klal Yisrael. Because we were cynical. Mordechai is telling, look at this rabbi. He's telling us that it's our fault when he... No, they didn't say that. They had emunah pshuta. They said, Mordechai, if this is what you're telling us, that's because of 9 years ago what we did. When we went to that party, we tucked it in, listened to you. We're sorry. We're going to daven. We're going to get a kapara. And that's exactly what they did. So the entire story of Purim is built on Emunas Chachamim. Mordechai min Atarim Minayin is not just Stam, a beautiful idea that the people of Papunai wanted to know where Mordechai is, and they told him, and Masna explained to them, using the understanding of Emunas Chachamim, we have to make sure to always keep the Gedolei Yisrael on the top tier in our minds and say that they're Mar Derar L'Rosh L'Chal B'Samim. Not just Stam, a coincidental vart that we find by Mordechai ben Atayra. Mordechai represents Emunas Chachamim. Mordechai is a story about Emunas Chachamim. The entire Purim is built on the fact that Klal Yisrael possessed Emunas Chachamim beyond the rational understanding. Mayim Shalanu. they believed so purely in the greatness of Gedolei Yisrael that this is what enabled them to be saved. If not for that Emunas Chacham, that spark of Emunas Chachamim, they would say, this is ridiculous, we're not doing tshuva, let Mordechai do tshuva, and that would be the end. And that's not just for Mordechai in that generation. Maybe you think, okay, that was Shkayach, Mordechai. Mordechai was Gadol Hadar. What do we have today? The Gemara says, and Rashi brings it, that Ein Lecha Elokein Shebiyamecha, every single dar has their Gedai Yisrael. And Yiftach Bedere, Kishmuel Bedere, every single generation has their leader, and you can't even compare leaders. You can't say, well, we don't have a Rav Moshe Feinstein anymore. We don't have a Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. We don't have a Stipler. We don't have a Chaim Kanievsky anymore. So who do we have? I don't even know anyone. Every single dar has Gedai Yisrael, and every single dar has to hold their Gedai Yisrael in the highest reverence, whether it's Sfardisha Gedailim, Ashkenazisha Gedailim, Chasidisha, Litvisha, it doesn't matter. These are our Gedailim, and this is what we have to hold up in the highest regard, not just in our own eyes, but in the eyes of our wives, in the eyes of our children, in the eyes of our friends, in the eyes of our family, in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. There has to be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. These are our Gedolim. We have to be able to continue to make sure that they are held in the right esteem. And if you're ever in a place and say, we don't have Gedolim anymore, we don't have Paiskim anymore, don't accept that and make a macha, because it's totally against what the Torah is built on. We don't have a nation if we don't have Gedolei Yisrael. If we don't have the Eini Ha'eda, if we blind out the eyes of our generation, the eyes of the nation, which is what Chazal call Gedolim, then we have nothing. Then we're literally blind. The only reason why we have a people is so that because we have Torah and we have the people that decipher the Torah, which are Gedolei Yisrael. Emunas Chachamim is not just a sifkatan in Torah. It's one of the major, most fundamental ideals and ideas of Torah is that we have the Torah, but the Torah itself was given over to the Chachmei HaTorah to understand. If you just have a Chumash, you don't know anything about anything. You don't understand. If you have just Gemara, you don't know anything about anything. How are you going to paskin Shilas today about in vitro fertilization, about microwave ovens, about warming drawers, about from a Gemara? Go show me where the Gemara speaks about these things. How do we know the halacha? How do we know about anything? Because we have Gedolei Yisrael that have a Messiah, and they have the ability to understand. They're medayik in certain in Gemaras and Rishonim to understand how to take away lessons, how to take away Yisaidas from Chazal, from Gemaras, to understand in halacha, in hashkafa, what we do. Otherwise, we're lost. If we don't have people interpreting the Torah, we don't have a nation. We don't have Torah. So it's very important to maintain this pristine idea and vision of what the Gedolei Yisrael are, and never allow ourselves to get cynical, never allow ourselves to, in any which way, have that emuna pshuta eroded by the zeitgeist, by the spirit of the times that we live in, where we're surrounded by so much cynicism, by so much negativity and noise, ugly noise about Gedolei Yisrael. We're in yeshiva, and we have to make sure that we stay very much in this beautiful philosophy, this beautiful understanding of, like the Anshei Papunai, that Gedolei Yisrael are Gedolei Yisrael. Just want to end with a beautiful story. We live in Kew Gardens Hills, right? This is Kew Gardens Hills. A neighboring city is Kew Gardens. Kew Gardens has a very prominent yeshiva called Shara Taira. And the Rosh Yeshiva of Shara Taira, the original Rosh Yeshiva, the founding Rosh Yeshiva, who was Nifter maybe 10 years ago, maybe more, his name was Reb Zelig Epstein. Reb Zelig Epstein was a gadol b'Yisrael mamish, a gadol b'Torah. He was known as a very big pikeach. People would come to him to ask him etzes and hadracha. He was he was originally, he lived in Williamsburg, and he was a Rosh Hashiva in Teirah V'Das, I believe. And then he eventually went and he started his own yeshiva, Shara Teirah. He lived in Flatbush and he would commute to Kew Gardens, but he was known as being mamish, like the Reish. He was the head. Like Rav Shach looked at him as being the gadol b'Yisrael. He wanted him to take a more active role and be like in the mayetzes, be in the aguda, and he didn't really want any of it. He just wanted to sit and learn, have his yeshiva, but he wasn't really interested in being very active on the national, international level, but it was known that he was it. He was the man. When he lived in Williamsburg, and it's interesting, just as an aside, I once drove him home from a chasna. I was learning in Chaim Berlin. The chasna was in, I think it was in Astoria. Anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. It was a chasna hall, and this was before the days of Waze and GPS. So I was just driving, and I thought I knew how to get home. I got very lost, and I got lost. I was sitting with the Gadol Hadar right next to me, and I was literally in the worst part of Brooklyn. I have no idea, you know, where I was. It was really bad. There were people, they were coming towards the car. It was like, you know, it was a different, it was very scary. I like, great, I, you know, I have the Gadol Hadar with me, and, you know, look what I did. So I said, you know, Rosh Shiva, I don't really know, you know, where we are. I think I'm going to pull over. He says, what do you mean you don't know where you are? Go down three blocks, take a left, and get a right. You're going to get back onto the BQE. We're going to be fine. I was like, how do you know that? He says, I live here. I lived here for many years. I live in Williamsburg for many years. I know this. I know these streets. Anyway, so when he lived in Williamsburg, during that tkuf of his life, he went into an appetizing store that's still it's still in business today. I don't think there, but in general, Schwartz is appetizing. Anyone hear of it? Like they have it in Gourmet Glad and in Brooklyn. There's a lot of branches of Schwartz's appetizing. It's the original. They sell herring and they sell kugel and a lot of good stuff. So he went in there to buy something and a small item. And I meant Flaum's. Flaum's appetizing. Okay, that's in business. Schwartz is also in business. Flaum's in business still today, I believe. But he gave Mr. Flaum, the original proprietor of the store, he gave him money, and it was, let's say, 50 cents for a herring back in those days. So Mr. Flaum gave him back 50 cents change for a dollar. So Reb Zelig looks at him, and he says, Mr. Flaum, I gave you a $20 bill. I didn't give you a dollar, I gave you a $20 bill. So Mr. Flaum says, okay. And he went to his cash register. He gives him back an additional $19, and that was it. Everything was fine. Good Shabbos. Goes home. Reb Zelig goes home, and he finds that now he has two $20 bills in his pocket, and he realizes that he made a mistake. He didn't give Mr. Flaum a $20 bill. He gave him a single. Mr. Flaum was 100% right. So he goes back to the store, and he said to him, you know, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You know, you obviously knew. That's why you gave me 50 cents to begin with. I thought it was 20, I gave you a dollar, and you gave me the right change, but I second-guessed you, and you gave me $19 extra. So Mr. Flaum said with a smile, he says, I knew that. I knew you didn't give me a 20. I knew you gave me a single. So Reb Zelig said, if you knew that, then why didn't you say anything? You knew it, so why just tell me, Rabbi? You know, you gave me a single. I'm sorry, but you made a mistake. And Mr. Flaum said, I would never contradict a rabbi. If a rabbi says that he gave me a 20, that's it. Vaisasim and adavar shegidol chayim in a smile. You can't veer off of what the rabbis tell you. The rabbi says, but I know that you gave me a single. Don't give me this Das Torah business or Emunas Chacham business. I know a single from a 20. Well, Chazal say that, don't veer to the right or to the left. You know what Chazal say? Afilu Aymer Mulchal Yamin Shu Smile. Val Smol Shu Yamin. If they tell you, if a rabbi comes over to you and says that you know the right hand that you think is the right hand, it's really your left hand. And your left hand, from now on, we're going to call that the right hand. Wait a minute, but it's an L, right? My mother told me an L is the left hand. No, from now on, it's an R. Now it's an R. Your left hand's your right hand, your right hand's your left hand, and that's it. Chazal say that that's it. That's it. From now on, your right hand is officially your left hand, and your left hand's your right hand. But what do you mean? That's not true. It's not true? If the Chachmi Yisrael say it's true. Period. But I'm smart. You're not smarter than them. If you feel you're smarter than them, that's a problem. That's the beginning of the end. The minute that we feel that we have the answers, we know the right Ashkapa, they don't have the facts right, they don't know the politics, they don't know the geopolitics, they don't know the financial issues involved, they don't have, and we question, why did the Gedolim do this? They should have done that. The second that happens, that's the slippery slope that has no bottom. Reb Zelig says, you gave me a 20? That's a 20. And the dollar suddenly became a $20 bill. But you knew it. I'm not going to question a rabbi. What the rabbi says is this is what I believe is part. That's the religion. That's not naivete. That's not old school Jews. That's the religion. That's a chilek. That's part and parcel of what our religion is built upon. That Chachmi Yisrael, Gedali Yisrael, Peske Yisrael, you don't question them. You are makabel what they say. You're mevatel yourself to their das, even if their das is not—it's not aligned with your das, and you feel that your das is the right das. I'm sorry, but it's not. And there's a famous quote. It's attributed, I think, to a smag, but it goes something like that: the das balabayas is opposite das tyra, meaning that. Whatever you want to know what Das Torah is, you go over to a Balabayas, you ask him, what's your opinion on the Gaza war? What's your opinion about the Shidduch crisis? What's your opinion about English and whatever they tell you, do the opposite. The opposite is Das Torah. What does that mean? It means that we have no idea about what the Torah says on any subject. Because we have, our ideas, our own opinions, that's very nice, but where are your opinions from? Where are Rabbi Chanan is quoted in one of the Svarim in the Kaivitz Mamarim, in the new Kaivitz Mamarim, they have some sidebars that has quotes from Rabbi Chanan, not as part of the official sefer of Kaivitz Mamarim, but in addendum, in addition. And he says that really everybody has Das Taira. Everybody, because we all learn Taira. We're in yeshiva, we learn, but your Das Taira is based in percentages. So let's say how much do we learn? Let's say we learn, and I'll be generous, 10% of the day. 15% of the day we learn. Okay, so you have 15% Das Torah. Let's say Rav Steinman who learns 100% of the day, he has 100% Das Torah. So when Rav Steinman has an opinion on a matter, when Rav Chaim Kanievsky has an opinion on a matter, when Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky has an opinion on a matter, Yibadul Chaim, so that's 100% Das Torah. When we have an opinion on it, maybe we learn a little, maybe we have a little spark of Das Torah, but we can't claim to have that degree of Das Torah. So when we see something, we have to understand that it's not necessarily the right way of looking at something. It's not necessarily the Torah's perspective. How do you know what the Torah's perspective is? You have to go to somebody whose brain is completely molded and saturated with the Torah, with the Chachmas HaTorah, and the Lamdas of the Torah, and the Svaras of the Torah, and the vision of the Torah, and they'll be able to decipher what's really the opinion of the Torah on this matter. Just the same rabbis that are telling us their opinion about using a warming drawer on Shabbos and about whether or not you can whatever the pressing issues of the day are, that's the same Gedolim that we have to respect with everything across the board, not just halachic shailos, but hashkafic shailos and political shailos and everything. And this is the importance that we have to, I think everybody knows what I'm saying, there's no chidushim here today, but it's very important for all of us to reiterate it and chazer this over and review it, because if you're not hearing it and if I'm not saying it and we're not engaged in it, then we could become very, very cynical. It's very easy to be cynical. It takes, just like that, you just hear somebody speak at a Shabbos table about that, and boom, all of a sudden our minds are impressed with a certain cynicism and negativity about rabbis, about Gedolim, about Das Torah. You could destroy everything with one snide comment, everything. It's important for us to double down on Emunas Chacham, understand the beauty of the people of Papunoi, to understand the greatness of Mardukhai, like the people in Shushan, in Klal Yisrael, were able to understand that it's not Mardukhai's fault, it's our fault. 9 long years ago, if that's what he's saying, that's what I believe. Like Mr. Flaum, to be able to understand that whatever Gedalia Yisrael say, that's what it is, not Savanishma. I'm a Kabul, whatever you say, I'm Mevatel my Das to your Das. I know that you are the Gadol, and I am but a mere Yid that needs to follow Gedalia Yisrael. And if we have that attitude, then Amir Tzah Hashem, we will be Matzliach in every facet of our lives. Have a beautiful Shabbos, Rabbi Say.